Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You bring up anything you want. The phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Join us and bring up whatever you want. That's the point of the show. You can also join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. Whether you want to watch or listen to the show or get interactive with other listeners on our chat server, chat.freetalklive.com, or our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. We have those features and more available to you for free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nikki.
And it's Bonnie.
And on the way, Nikki, you're going to be telling us about an AI company, this will be a little bit later, that is apparently scraping or has already scraped Facebook for a large amount of images and is handing that over to the police. We'll talk about that. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Something else we've been watching over the last few weeks has been what may finally be the beginning of the end for the dollarization of the world, the dominance of the U.S. dollar in world markets and governments on the planet having the dollar in reserve. We may start to see a drawdown on that, and there have been some interesting developments to that end in just the last couple of weeks. Last week, I think it was, Brazil, maybe it was earlier this week. Anyway, Brazil and China had announced that they were no longer going to have to be trading in dollars together.
Oh, wow.
Brazil, which is, you know, an up-and-coming country economically, they're part of the BRICS group. So they're sort of allied with China and Russia and India and South Africa. That's the BRICS. And Brazil's number one trading partner was the United States. That has been surpassed by China. So China is now Brazil's number one trading partner. And they used to have to convert the Brazilian real into dollars in order to send dollars to their Chinese trading partners and vice versa. So they were changing from their home country's fiat currency into the U.S. government fiat currency for some reason. And they just decided recently to say, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it way more complicated than it needs to be.
So now they're just going to trade directly for their own home country's currencies, the real and the yuan. So that was a big announcement. Also, we learned recently that the G7 nations, which is like the European Union, the United States, Canada, Japan, etc., and then the BRICS nations have now crossed as far as the percentage of world GDP. So the BRICS nations used to be like 15% of the world GDP, and now they're like 31.5%, and they're now higher than the G7 nations. So they're starting to get a lot more economic strength. They're, there's a lot more that they can do now. They're talking about creating their own currency to essentially rival the dollar. Now, that hasn't happened yet. That part's just in the talking phase. But meanwhile, we're seeing more stories like this one from MSN and WION, where India, which is one of the BRICS countries, India, which, by the way, is on track to become the most populated country on the planet.
It used to be China. China was previously, but then they stopped reproducing in China, so
that slowed things down a little.
And then there's going to be a lot of older folks starting to die, and then their population's about to really go down.
I don't know if it's going to go down that fast, but India is going up at a higher clip than China is, and so this year, I think it's supposed to be sometime in the summer, India is expected to pass China as far as having the most people. So they're a pretty big economy over there as well. And now India and Malaysia have agreed to settle trade-related payments in Indian rupees, according to the New Delhi government.
Were they using dollars previously?
I think so. According to the story, the Indian Foreign Ministry made the announcement Saturday and follows the directive of the country's central bank, which is the Reserve Bank of India, which has been pushing for the settlement of international trade in Indian currency. The move comes in the wake of India making efforts to shift away from U.S. dollars, which has been the dominant reserve currency for international trade, as it has been appreciating against the local currency in the aftermath of the Russia-Ukraine war. The ministry said, quote, trade between India and Malaysia can now be settled in Indian rupee in addition to the current modes of settlement in other currencies. So does that mean they will all end up being settled that way? I don't know, but certainly, again, it's more convenient to not have to convert into dollars before you finish up a trade deal. So just these little news items just keep hitting that are going to be detrimental to the dollar. If more and more countries around the world are saying, well, we don't really need the dollar for this anymore for doing trade deals, and they go to their local currencies, then at some point those companies or those countries are going to say, well, why do we even have the dollar in reserve anymore? I mean, there's already talk about countries dumping the dollar from their reserves, which, of course, would result in those dollars coming back into the United States, which would result in greater inflation here in the United States. And so, you know, is this the beginning of the end for the dollar? I know some of us who've been paying attention to this stuff for a long time, I think, would like to see the this be the beginning of the end. But, of course, they have a lot of tricks up their sleeve. I'm not going to go out on the limb and predict that the dollar is going to be gone by the, you know, the end of this decade or anything like that. But it is certainly not in the strength, the sort of strong position that it once was. There aren't as many, the central banks around the world that hold dollars do not hold as large of a percentage today in dollars as they used to. Countries like China are seeing the renminbi or the yuan going up in the holdings of these central banks, and the dollar holdings are going down. So you decide what to do about this. I'm not an investment advisor, but I do like what Aaron Day, who's one of the Republican presidential candidates, who happens to be a free stater and a liberty activist here in New Hampshire, has been saying. He's saying it's time for a run on the banks. He's saying that, you know, if
MAGA run on the banks 2023 hashtag.
That is some of the things he's been saying. Yeah, he's trying to promote it to the Trump people, because going and protesting Trump's arrest isn't going to do anything to change anything, but actually pulling your money out of the banking system may do that. So you decide what to do with that money. If it's in your hands, then that's certainly a better situation. But if you keep holding it as dollars, you're still going to be taking a significant risk. It's not as risky as just leaving it sitting in a bank account, because you never know what the banks are doing with it. You certainly can't trust them to do honest things with it. But, you know, you could buy some gold or silver. You could buy some cryptocurrency. You could do both. There's, of course, real estate and, you know, other options out there for you. But the future for the dollar does not look as bright as it once did.
No, I mean, one thing's for certain, the value of the dollar just keeps going down.
Well, you can count on that.
I mean, that's a definite.
It's an inflationary currency.
What did you say?
Or I meant to say it's an inflationary currency.
Right. So, well, all central currencies, central bank currencies are inflationary. So
the value will always go down.
Right. So to some extent, those central bank currencies around the world are in a race to the bottom just to see who is going to print the fastest, who is able to hold back from going whole hog and printing, you know, Zimbabwe levels or Venezuela levels. And the problem that the dollar, though, is facing, the potential problem that could become a very real problem soon, is that the dollar has a whole bunch of dollars that exist outside of the United States. And if those dollars come back into the United States because people around the world, companies, central banks decide that they don't trust it anymore, then those dollars don't just disappear. They come back to where they started. And that is a flood of dollars coming into this particular landmass, which means that that would increase likely prices pretty significantly. Because when the Federal Reserve, like, for instance, when COVID, the money printing happened under Trump and then under Biden, the $2 trillion bailouts that they had a couple of times, that money gets printed up. It gets distributed to the politically connected class people like the military industrial complex or the pharmaceutical industrial complex in the case of COVID, but it's going all over the world. It's being absorbed in, you know, various different places. And so it would be much different had they printed $2 trillion and it all stayed in the United States. So it's not as inflationary when it's going everywhere as opposed to just staying in one geographic area. So if all of those dollars come back in, or even, you know, 50% of them or whatever come back in, you know, your price of your hamburger and fries at the local burger place is already getting closer to $7 or $8 or $9 or $10. You may see $20 value meals soon.
Did you see in California that picture that somebody put in one of our chats that was Popeyes and like the cheapest thing on the menu, the cheapest combo on the menu was like $15 for
wow.
like just, it was like
yeah,
a four
California.
Piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, California.
And some of them were like $30, $40, $50 for like
fast food restaurant.
For like
that's
a family,
crazy.
Like a family pack kind of thing.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Went up to like $60 for like a family
yeah.
chicken.
That's crazy.
Biscuits type deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's these prices aren't going to go down, and the U.S. government is in a pretty difficult situation.
New normal.
Yeah. And that's one of the most recent updates on that. But here's another factor to consider, and this one's coming from the Wall Street Journal. We've talked about how the U.S. government, in the form of the Federal Reserve and the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, is bailing out these banks that have failed, right? So you've heard about Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, which had close to $300 billion in deposits. And initially they were saying, well, sorry, those of you who had over $250,000, we're not going to cover you. The FDIC only covers up to $250,000. Good luck. That was the initial response. And then they changed their tune and they said, well, we're going ahead and covering everybody. We're going to...
Wow, I didn't hear that.
In. Yeah, this was like a week after. It was pretty soon after the banks failed that the
and
FDIC...
And they were saying, like, oh, we won't have to do it out of tax dollars.
They did say that.
But that was just like a squirmy way.
Such a lie, though. I don't believe that.
Well, they claim they're going to assess the banks. So it'll be a special assessment on the banks. So technically, it would not be the taxpayers who pay for it. It would be all the bank customers who do. Because the banks will pay for it out of their reserves, presumably, and then raise prices on their
customers.
Which
isn't, like, much better. It's like the people in banks probably are taxpayers. It doesn't really matter. It's the people instead of just the government doesn't, you know, have its own money or generate money itself.
Well, they don't generate
the government
wealth.
Doesn't have a job. Yeah.
The difference is the government doesn't generate wealth. They do make money, right? Like, they just
and then they don't make
it.
Money outside of the people. It doesn't have its own job somehow.
Sure. Sure.
So it's not like, oh, it's coming out of our pockets. Don't worry. It's coming out of the taxpayers' pockets.
It's coming out of the taxpayers' pockets who have bank accounts. But
right.
for people that don't have bank accounts, they're actually not going to likely have to pay for this, at least at this point, because they're going to essentially tax the banks. So that would only affect people that have bank accounts. Likely that'll mean...
Which is like most everyone.
I think there's like 7% of Americans that are unbanked these days. Anyway, so we've heard about them bailing out these bankers. We've heard about them bailing out in, 2008. They, of course, bailed out bankers then. They bailed out automotive manufacturers. And the Wall Street Journal is saying here that they're actually going to be bailing out blue states and cities now as well. Because if you looked into the story about the bankers in Silicon Valley Bank, and what it was that caused, ostensibly, their failure, there's been a study that has shown that there's like 186 other banks that have the exact same problem that Silicon Valley Bank had. It's just that there was this run on deposits at Silicon Valley Bank that hasn't happened in the other banks yet.
Yeah, just sped up the process.
And that's why they failed when the other banks are still kind of like hanging on because their customers haven't formed a line and demanded their money. If that happens, if people take up Aaron Day on his proposal of doing a bank run, it could very well tip all these other banks into complete financial crisis.
And like in the Twitter spaces today, I like half jokingly asked because we had like, I don't know, 10 people in there. I was just like, so are y'all doing your part for the bank run yet? And one guy was like, what do you mean? You want the banks to fail? Well, like, I have 401k or something like that. I was just like, that's a poor reason.
Not for long.
Yeah, right. That's a poor reason to not participate in the run on the banks, because, like, if everyone else starts participating, you better have some of your money in gold.
I mean, it's inevitable. You know, whether we facilitate this run on the banks right now, or if we prolong this for the next 20, 30 years, that money's not safe.
And I don't think it's, like, immoral to be like, oh, I want it to happen. Because yeah, some people who are, you know, innocent people will get in the way. Because the fact is, the bank system is immoral, and wanting it to be over with isn't immoral.
Well, I described this, I think it was last night, as ripping off the Band-Aid, because Mark was accusing me of wanting people to be harmed, and it's like, no, I don't wish harm upon people that have bank accounts or whatever. It's just that they're going to keep making this worse. They're going to keep printing money. They're going to keep doing irresponsible things with other people's money, which is what has happened with the banks, by
the way. Absolutely.
They've taken your money that you gave to them, which you thought was for safekeeping, and then they put them into these bonds. Now, to be fair to the banks, they thought it was a sure thing. They thought that buying the government bonds was a guaranteed winner because they thought the rates were going to stay low, and they would just be able to cash them in and then pay everybody off, and it would be no big deal.
Nope.
When did the government decide to change the rates?
Oh, so that was in response to inflation. So the Federal Reserve has said that they're going to, quote, fight inflation by increasing interest rates. And the reason that supposedly fights inflation is that if you raise interest rates from 0 to 5% or whatever it is right now, I think it's around 5 or a little bit, maybe over 5%. That's like what they call the base rate. So that's the rate at which other loan prices get based off of. So if you get a home loan now compared to 2 years ago,
it's like 7%.
You're paying way more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than you would have 2 years ago. Similarly, if you take out a car loan or you take out any kind of loan from a bank, maybe you want to start a business, take out a business loan, you're paying, I don't know what they currently are, maybe it's 7% for that too, I don't know.
I'm
but you're
sure.
going to pay probably at least 5 to 6, probably. You know, something like that percent, as compared to maybe 1% or 2% a couple of years ago. And so when somebody's looking at doing a home purchase, they may say to themselves, yeah, I'll just keep renting because it's too expensive for them to pay off that loan at the current rates. So that the reason that, quote, fights inflation is because if you're familiar with how the banking system works, when banks issue loans, they're creating that money out of thin air. So they are creating inflation every time they issue a loan. And so by raising the rates, they're disincentivizing people from taking out as many loans as they otherwise would, and so therefore they're, quote, fighting inflation. So even though the government spending isn't going down, which would be the actual way to, you know, do something about inflation, cut government spending and stop printing money like crazy, they're still funding everything that the federal government wants. It's just private loans are not as they're not happening as often. So they raised these interest rates at a record level. I believe it was like 1,700% in less than a year. So it went from literally nothing to 4 or 5%. And so that is, I think, the answer to your question. And so you have these banks who have purchased the government bonds. Thing is, they purchased them at a very low rate back when they bought them, which was like, you know, a year and a half ago or a year ago before the interest rates started going up. And then the interest rates started going up. And apparently what happens is kind of weird. It's kind of hard to understand. It's like, well, they're buying these bonds. The bonds have a certain length of time on them. And I don't know what the banks typically buy. I don't know if it's like 5 year or 10 year or what. But, you know, generally the longer the bond length, the higher the interest rate was. But back a year and a half ago or a year ago, it was very low for any length of time. So who knows what the time length was. But essentially what happened was over that year time, the prices of the interest rates went up. So the Federal Reserve or the Treasury started issuing bonds at higher and higher rates. So essentially what you had happen was the Silicon Valley Bank customers were looking at what the bank was giving them. I mean, have you ever seen bank savings rates? Have you ever looked at what the banks pay you?
Well, they give you like a couple pennies every now and then.
Yeah, it's like 0.01%.
I remember when I got my first bank account, it was a student savings account, so I got 1%. And I remember,
and that's like a big deal, right?
I remember my whole family being like, "Whoa, she has 1%!" And I'm like, "Seriously? That's like nothing."
Yeah, in the 80s, you might get like 3 to 5% on a bank account or something, and it hasn't been that way for a long time. So the customers at this Silicon Valley bank saw what they were getting on their bank account, which is pennies.
Yeah.
And then they saw what the treasury bond rates were going for, and they said, well, why do I want to? Because these are rich, like venture capitalist people. These are people with way more than $250,000. These are people with $250 million in the bank, to where, you know, a percentage or 2% isn't bad compared to 0.01%. And so they said, well, I want my money. I'd like to get the 4% or whatever it was by buying treasury bonds directly. Why do I need to have the bank buy these things on my behalf, take a cut off the top to pay all their bank employees, for, you know, the bureaucracy of the bank, and then give me a fraction of what they're getting? Because that's all that's happening there.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, I'd like my money back. Except the thing is, a bunch of them said that because the word was getting around. Like, these guys talk, the tech industry, right? Like, they know how to use the internet. They know how to communicate with one another. And so the word got around, like, hey, we're going to pull our money out. You know, there's a better deal. We can just buy the bonds directly. And the bank said, ooh, yeah.
We're locked in.
We kind of locked in your money into these bonds, and we don't really have the billions of dollars, because there was a $45 billion run on Silicon Valley Bank in 24 hours. And he said, well, I guess we're going to have to cash in these bonds early, or which you can't really do, as I understand it. You have to sell them on the market.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had these bonds at, you know, let's say 0.5% or whatever. I'm just picking a number. And, well, it was worth less than that. If you're going to sell it before it's due,
yeah, I lost a lot of
you're
money.
Going to take a bath selling that on the, whatever you call the that third-hand market or whatever. I don't know what they call it, where they sell it. Just whoever else it is that wants to buy this low-interest rate bond for a fraction of what the bank originally paid for it. So they took, like, $1 billion-plus loss or something trying to sell this thing to get the money to pay their customers who weren't locked in. These were just customers who just had deposits. They didn't have CDs or something where they had to lock their money down, and they couldn't do it fast enough. They couldn't get enough money out from selling those bonds quick enough to satisfy the customers, and shutdown happened. So here's the other thing that you need to know about. It's not just the banks. Other people have bought these low interest rate bonds a year ago and are in the same boat as these banks, including city and state governments. What does that mean? Well, it means there may have to be a bailout soon for local governments that also took your money and invested it in these bonds that they're now underwater on as well. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show. You can bring up absolutely anything that is on your mind and take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says NATO is stronger and larger than ever. He made the comments from Brussels today, following Finland being added.
On the 74th anniversary of the alliance, I accepted Finland's membership documents to join NATO. Finland is now our 31st ally.
The inclusion of Finland, which shares a border with Russia, is a major blow to Russia.
The founder of Cash App is dead after being stabbed in San Francisco. 43-year-old Bob Lee was also the former chief technology officer of the app Square. Lee's death comes following a report that Cash App's parent company, Block, is allowing fraud and crime to run rampant on the app. Former President Trump may go to trial just as the Republican presidential primaries kick off. He's facing dozens of criminal counts in New York City. Prosecutors in that case are pushing for the trial to start in January 2024, just before the primaries in Iowa and New Hampshire in early February. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. Tia, Nikki, and Bonnie joining you here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com. We have our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. You can interact there with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts of the show. It is our platform. We run it on our server, so we get to decide how it's run. And that is, what we've decided is you can basically say anything you want to, except for being a spammer. We don't want spammer types hanging out on our servers. So beyond that, you have the freedom to express yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. We can talk more about apparently municipalities also maybe needing a bailout from the federal government, the Federal Reserve coming soon, kind of like the banks. We'll explain that coming up in a moment, but Tim is on the line in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hello. So last night's show, you were talking about how the answer is to basically, if people want to use Bitcoin, if people want to have economic freedom and actually have something like Bitcoin or an alternative, as an alternative to the banking system that's collapsing all around us, then everyone should concentrate. And I was thinking, too, about your idea, Bonnie, about the store. I know it's not like your business plan, but and then Ian, you were saying how, well, that's going to be expensive if you source locally. But if economic type people that really didn't want to pay taxes in the first place were all in the same place, whether they used some sort of paper money or Bitcoin or gold or, you know, what have you, then they would actually have a chance because it's the stores, you know, like the corporations and the stores and every other place where people don't believe in liberty. That it becomes a real problem because then they can say, well, you cannot hire someone if they're not a documented person in the United States, and they enforce all sorts of these arbitrary things. Anyway, I'm going to take my call off the line. Have a great day.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, was there a question there?
Well, I think he was just saying that the store idea could work if enough people are concentrated together and like enough people want.
What is the store idea?
Oh, so on Monday I was saying a way to. I was just trying to think a way to get crypto more useful without having to go to a bunch of businesses and be like, hey, will you accept crypto? Because the thing is, like, we don't have AnyPay really completely working right now. And
AnyPay is a payment platform to accept cryptocurrency at a point of sale.
Yeah, and there's another thing like it that works. And people have been, like, kind of looking for a solution. I was like, why doesn't someone or some people with a bunch of money try to contact some manufacturers and be like, we want to spend crypto to buy this much stuff and start their own store. And then we'll have like at least like a Walmart in New Hampshire, specifically in New Hampshire, because I don't think it should be done anywhere else. I mean, there's the most like agorist type people in general living here.
And yeah, honestly, I don't know if that would work anywhere else because there might not be enough people to even support that sort of idea.
There's,
you know,
definitely not enough people to make a Walmart-sized store.
Yeah.
Work. I mean, I'm optimistic about
cryptocurrency. I think what the caller is saying
you're
is
saying
like
someday
control or combine all things.
Be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For
I think
a Walmart.
Yeah, if we had like a flip starter.
I mean,
like,
we would need somebody with a lot of money that's willing to like invest that.
Well, multiple people. That's the thing. It wouldn't have to be one person. Like yeah.
the
flip starter idea.
The Free Staters have a tough time coming up with a few $100,000 to buy a clubhouse. Okay?
Yeah,
like we don't have. I don't know. Elon Musk isn't on board, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not a libertarian. He's, you would need a billionaire to do something like, or at least a 100 millionaire
yeah.
or something like that. You'd have to have somebody with some pretty deep pockets. And, of course, every libertarian organization on the planet is looking for this, you know, this, I don't know what you want to call this, angel, this financial angel to come in and rescue.
Well, you would start small, Ian. You wouldn't just be like, we're going to start off making a Walmart. You
okay,
just
well,
start
that's
off
what
like.
Saying.
Well, eventually,
small,
you keep acting
a small
like.
Walmart.
How's this going to work immediately, Bonnie? This idea
okay,
you
well,
came up with on
the
air
step?
The other day.
What is the step that you can actually take?
Get like a flip starter and enough people who put money into it together and then talk to some manufacturer about a couple products.
Mm-hmm. Like a convenience store, maybe, like something small.
Yeah.
That way, if it goes under, there's not a huge loss. Because
well,
if you did start with a Walmart and it went under, that would be a massive loss.
No, the good news is we already have a convenience store that takes cryptocurrency
yeah.
and gold backs here in Keene, New Hampshire. It's called Mighty Moose Mart. It's run by a couple of Free State Project
But the thing
movers.
I was like trying to also fix is like we need to be able to buy things that aren't candy bars and burgers. We need to be able to buy Walmart stuff is what I'm
yeah.
trying to get at. We need to be able to live.
So like a smaller department store where there's like a variety of things like paper towels, like clothes, food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, but the tricky part is, and maybe I just misunderstood what you were saying, Bonnie, about this, is any store with a variety of items that are available has to pay the suppliers for those items,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the real difficulty comes in. It's challenging enough to get a local business to take cryptocurrency at the point of sale.
I think it's more challenging.
But if you can get that, if to actually get that business to be able to convince a supplier to take cryptocurrency or gold or something like that for their actual wholesale products that the store is buying, that is an even more difficult challenge.
Why do you think it's even more difficult? No one's tried it.
I'm sure someone's tried it. I bet you could ask Chris at Mighty Moose Mart and ask him if he's ever talked to any of his suppliers about cryptocurrency and see what, you know, see what they've said. Because there have definitely been some people who've had these conversations with their suppliers. And I can't say for sure what it's like. And this would be another, speaking of Chris's, our Friday night co-host. He gets cryptocurrency at his business, which is
mm-hmm.
an online shop where you can buy real things like laptops and computer products. But getting the Asian manufacturer that is manufacturing the laptops to accept cryptocurrency is like a whole other task, and it's not an easy one.
Well, I'm not saying it would be 100% easy, but it's also different to be like, hey, your specialized computer product, instead of like paper towels and paper plates mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and tell people, hey, we have this flip starter with this much money in it, but we want to spend crypto. Oh, you don't want to do it? Let's ask someone else.
That would be how you probably should best approach it, would be figure out the different suppliers of paper towels and approach every single one of them with your pitch. And I'd be very curious to see how that goes. Maybe it would be easier than I think it would be about that. But I've always just been of the impression from having brought local businesses on board with accepting crypto is that doing it at any kind of a corporate level would be incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. Not impossible, perhaps, but you got to get through the gatekeepers, you got to find the right people to talk to, and then you got to persuade that
I mean,
person.
I've seen some online stores, and I can't even think of an example right now, but that's you.
Overstock.com.
Yeah, yeah. That do accept Bitcoin and different types of cryptocurrencies. So, not impossible, but...
But are there
not
suppliers being paid in cryptocurrency? I almost guarantee you
probably
there's no
not
chance that they are. That's the ultimate.
The thing about Overstock is, like,
challenge.
I don't want one day this one store is the only one we can spend any money at, and then one day they're just like, oh, the U.S. government scared us, now we can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not accepting that anymore. That's the thing I'm trying, that's the problem I'm trying to think about fixing. Not that I'm, like, saying that tomorrow I'm going to start working on this, Ian, and this is my new job, and I'm going to start doing it.
Yeah, well, there's no money to be made in it, so that's the other issue is...
I mean, there could be. Why not? Why isn't there...
How are you going to do it? Are you going to take a chunk of the flip starter or whatever, the fundraiser? I mean, I guess that would be one way that you could do it. But just going and convincing companies to accept Bitcoin,
yeah,
there's not like a sales job there. There's not... You haven't actually sold anything. You've sold the idea.
Yeah, taking a lot of time.
Yeah, you've sold the idea of cryptocurrency maybe successfully to a company. Good for you. Here's a pat on the back. I mean, ultimately, perhaps you could take donations.
You'd be selling it. You'd be buying the stuff and then selling it. So wouldn't the store be making money? Why would we sell it at a loss?
No, I'm talking about whoever the person is that is going to be doing the actual work. Are you saying that they would just get paid later on from the success of the store that they're backing? Because most people, unless they're like the most entrepreneurial type person, they want to get a paycheck at the end of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you bring a sales guy on, you got to pay that guy until he makes sales.
Well, then I guess cryptocurrency is over. What's the point of cryptocurrency, Ian? Explain to me what the point of cryptocurrency is if we can't spend it.
Well, it's in a really difficult growth phase right now where you have a very small group of cryptocurrency advocates that support peer-to-peer cash, the actual usage of cryptocurrency as being able to buy things. And then you have a much larger group of people that got into Bitcoin and crypto in like 2017, since that time, that just want to see number go up, and they're not interested in spending it on things at all. So you've got a real problem with the sort of the end user of cryptocurrency that we don't...
So why do we have to worry about what the end user in like Florida is doing? I don't care what they're doing. I'm just talking about New Hampshire.
We don't. But even within New Hampshire, you have a real tough time convincing the freedom-loving activists who should not be so hard to convince on this. They should be people who agree with the viewpoint of spending cryptocurrency. It's hard as hell to get them actually to go and spend crypto.
Really?
I don't think it's really
hard.
That hard. What are you talking about? People spend crypto at market days all the time.
They do. They do spend crypto at market days. But... In Manchester, there are literally no businesses that are accepting
crypto. Because it's hard to get random people who run a store in Manchester to sell their stuff
hard
for crypto.
That's the thing. It's not hard. We've gotten several businesses here in Keene to
do it. It's an issue. If you think it's not hard at all, well, then you're just wrong.
No, it's not hard. All you have to do is have people willing to spend it, and then they go into the business, and they ask about it, and eventually you close the deal with the business owner.
What do you mean it's not hard? They were doing it at Murphy's, and then they stopped.
Right. It wasn't hard to get Murphy's to start taking crypto.
But if people aren't spending it there,
that's
the thing. So if people go in and they keep spending their crypto...
The problem was people weren't tipping. That was the problem. That's what we heard.
That's a whole other problem.
Yeah, that's a problem with some libertarians who are like, oh, I'm against tipping. That's a whole other issue. but there weren't people spending it, because if there were people spending crypto, they would have had the tablet charged, and every time somebody asked about it,
it's because they were annoyed because those people who were spending it weren't paying or weren't tipping. You can ask Justin O'Donnell. He told us this.
Okay, well, I've heard different stories from different people about this. It's just that, you know, if it's the business owner who is accepting cryptocurrency and his staff are refusing to accept cryptocurrency just because somebody's not tipping, well, look, the same people who aren't tipping...
Yeah, whether they pay in cash or crypto, they're still not going to tip either way.
I don't think that's true, because people figure out what the price is, and then they give it to them, they pay on the crypto, and if they came to only spend crypto, they might be like, oh, I didn't realize I can't tip in crypto, so I didn't tip.
Well, then they're a loser, and they need to ask their friend to cover for them, and then they'll get them back later on.
I would totally shame my friend. If my friend went to a restaurant with me and they didn't want to tip, I would totally shame them.
I just think we're missing the point, because this isn't the point. The point is that, for one thing, a bunch of restaurants taking crypto is all fine and dandy, but what about when you need tampons? And you only have crypto,
you use
and,
purse.
And the Save phone is gone.
Com.
Okay, but what about when that just goes away because the government starts attacking them? This is what I'm thinking about right now, because this is literally what's happening.
Look, I get it, Bonnie. I'm just giving you the reasons why this is a challenge. It's not as hard to get businesses to accept something they think their customers are going to spend. If they believe their customers are interested in something, and this applies to the suppliers as well, except the suppliers' customers are the stores, so they have to have multiple stores likely that are interested in this to even consider it. So when you bring a business on board that's taking cryptocurrency and then you don't go to it, or you don't spend crypto at the place that you've just gotten on board to take it, it's only going to be a matter of months, a year at the most, before that business owner says, well, this was a cool idea, but no one has used this, so I'm just not going to bother with this anymore. And that's what's happened in Manchester. They had a few places, and those places are gone at this point. And Keene, we have a few places here. We've had several. Unfortunately, a few of them have gone out of business due to, well, that's just what happens with business sometimes. You don't make it. And so we haven't been able to bring new ones on board because our community of cryptocurrency people has been basically decimated by the federal government coming in here and just throwing people in a prison cell and putting a huge chilling effect on the community. Now, that doesn't take away from, as you mentioned, Market Day, which is sort of almost a private event that Free Staters put on, and people sell everything from, you know, homemade teas to massages to, you know, meats or whatever. And that's a thing. It still goes on. And I think that those are great. But for cryptocurrency to get into the area you're talking about, which is suppliers and wholesalers and manufacturers, it's going to have to start from the ground level, I think. I mean, maybe some rich person's going to float in here and, you know, make your dreams come true, Bonnie.
It could be more than one person, Ian. I never said it has to be one person. There's flip starters.
There is. There is indeed.
I mean, I think it's an important endeavor.
Yeah.
Because we'll need it eventually.
I hope somebody can pull it off. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, this is Max.
Max, you're on the air.
Hey, I didn't know if you guys had already talked about the ban on incandescent light bulbs.
No, but it is in my show prep. Do you want to give us a rundown on what's going on?
Yeah, so the government's been trying to do this for a long time.
I thought they already did it. I was surprised that they hadn't finished it with it yet.
Well, they had weird wording. It was like you couldn't produce less than 45 lumens per watt, or it was this weird formula. So the industry was able to kind of work around it by like adding some halogen to some of the light bulbs, and then like it could be a little bit more efficient. So if you didn't want LED or compact fluorescent, there was this other option.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're changing the wording. They're straight up, as of July, completely banning the production or sale of incandescent light bulbs, and there's a $540 fine associated with per bulb of production or sale of incandescent light bulbs.
Wow.
This summer. Yep, and it's entirely evil. I mean, never mind the moral aspect of you should be able to buy and use whatever light bulbs you want.
Mm-hmm.
But from a pragmatic standpoint, LEDs are very artificial, and incandescent light bulbs are the closest thing, it's like the perfect merger of fire. It's like a, because it's just a filament in a vacuum tube you put electricity through.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason it's not a fire and exploding is because there's no air in there. So it's like a controlled fire, so it's the most natural electric light. And a lot, I personally use LED bulbs because I just like the savings on electricity, but there's a lot of people that will pay extra money for that natural light.
I do too, but I got to say, for all the talk about LED bulbs being, you know, the greatest thing to hit the world of lighting, they don't last that long. I mean, they're supposed to be like 100,000 hours, no problem, no issues. They're buggy, and they will go out long before whatever that time frame is. And maybe it's just the earlier generation. But go ahead.
The fine print of that 100,000 or that hours they mentioned, like 9 years, whatever. That's how long the LEDs will burn for. But the power supplies, because a regular incandescent or compact fluorescent just takes 120. Alternating current directly. Mm-hmm. These things, they're LEDs, so they need like 5 volt DC. So there's little power supplies in all these bulbs that fail.
Mm.
And you're not going to replace the power supply in a bulb, you just toss it. So
right. They
actually last less amount of time on average than incandescents because the power supplies go out.
That's a great point.
Part of it is they want people depressed and easy to just like push over.
Does that have to do with the type of lighting?
Yeah, the LED blue.
Oh, I hate it. I hate LED lights.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good for you.
They're not good for you, and they also they don't dim. You can't dim an LED bulb. So people mm-hmm. that like to dim like a nice chandelier, they don't actually dim. They turn on and off rapidly when they receive less voltage, whereas a filament will just get dimmer. So you can try to dim an LED bunch of LED bulbs. It looks like crap.
Mm. So yeah, I've never tried it. I know they came up with a quote-unquote dimmable version, and you're saying it's like a pretty lame-o attempt.
Right, yeah.
Hmm.
And it's very noticeable, and I'm not even into it. This isn't even my thing, and I can notice it. So people that actually enjoy the more fire natural lighting are really, they're going to have to either stock up or pay a lot of money, because they'll still exist. They'll just be a black market.
Yeah.
You have to get them.
They'll just be really expensive.
Right, you'll be able to get it from your local crack dealer. You'll be able to buy incandescent bulbs.
So why did they ban them? Just because of the eco-friendly, trying to save energy?
Yeah, clean energy, blah, blah, blah.
The solution is to spend more time in sunlight.
They say they're like, this is going to save $3 billion. It's like, look, consumers already had access to LED bulbs. They just didn't want them. A lot of people just didn't like them.
No, we're just going to force people.
Well, they're also more expensive. I mean, when you go and you buy LED, they're cheaper now than they were 10 years ago, but they're still pricey by comparison to the older technology. And your average person, even though they might be told, well, this is going to save you money over the long term, they don't want to spend that money up front, and so this is going to force them.
Well, it's their right, though, you know.
Well, it was. Now they're going to be forced to.
It's just crazy to me that they're banning things like light bulbs. You know what I mean? Like, people deserve the right to choose what kind of light bulb they want to buy.
One thing about the environment thing is, I'm not a scientist, but one thing I've heard is that the LED ones are actually worse once they get to, like, a landfill or once
they're
thrown away. They're worse for the environment.
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
That's true, because there's computer circuitry in there and power supplies and all this stuff, whereas an incandescent bulb is just glass and some metal. It's much simpler.
But this
is very simple.
This is typical, right? When the government does something to be good for the environment, it's always worse for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like the electric cars versus internal combustion engines.
Right. The electric cars have crazy batteries that are really bad.
And they're mined by slave children over in Africa. So everything about it is just so much worse ethically and environmentally.
Max, do you know if they're also going to ban the compact fluorescents as well?
Those have actually been hard to manufacture for a while because the issue they had with those was the mercury content in them.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, those have been gone. It's really just been LED and incandescent for a while. Those were kind of like a technology was big like in 2000s through 2010.
Right.
But they are banning halogen and compact fluorescent.
Wow.
So because of the mercury, officially. So
they're literally banning every light bulb type with the exception of
everything
LEDs.
Everything but LED. There are some exceptions for incandescents because in some situations you actually need the heat. Like, you remember the old Easy Bake ovens?
Yeah.
You actually used a light bulb to cook food.
And
that's not an exemption, actually, but so you can't get it for your Easy Bake oven. But
Sorry,
lava
kids.
Lamps need heat. and certain things actually need. And then, like appliances, like an electric oven, you can't put an LED bulb in it, it'll melt. The circuit board will melt. So those take an appliance bulb, which is incandescent. But besides these, like, very small cutout exemptions, everything but LEDs are banned.
Oh, that is really disappointing. Thank you for sharing the news. Like I said, I did have it in show prep. We hadn't gotten to it yet. So thanks, Max, for calling in. Anything else you want to share?
No, I had a rant about it, but thanks for listening.
All right, man. Thank you. The number here is 603-283-6160. But don't worry. You can just elect more politicians, and they'll change things around in Washington, D.C. Just bring Trump back, and then you'll
get your light bulbs.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, well, they actually do give Trump apparently a little bit of credit in this story here from Fox News, saying that he actually delayed the phase out, quote unquote, of the old fashioned light bulb. So Trump did stand in the way of this one.
He probably likes them. He doesn't like the LEDs.
Yeah, he gets a little bit of credit for that one. He actually apparently said there's a quote here. He said in 2019 that the LED lights are more expensive, not good, and make him, quote, look orange, unquote.
Oh, I think I've heard that before.
That's crazy. It's so
you would think they would make him look less orange.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just the quality is better in, like, photos or whatever since they're brighter. Hmm. It's like, no, that's what you actually look like.
Blue light that comes from it. Well, then again, in the light spectrum is different. In pigments, blue is the opposite of orange. In the light spectrum, it's different. I forgot what it is.
So if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. I suspect it won't be illegal to possess the incandescents. Probably just illegal to sell the incandescents. So you're probably okay stocking up on them, I guess?
Interesting, because, I mean, the government, well, maybe some local governments have some kind of laws about light bulbs, because I know that crackheads use them to smoke crack somehow.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I think they use them as, like, the pipe.
Yeah. Me and my brother were at Walmart once, and there were these two, like, crackhead-looking people, and they were like, this one will work. No, this one will work.
Oh,
and
man.
I didn't understand what was happening.
Were they, like, picking them out of a dumpster or something?
No, we were at Walmart.
Just in the aisle.
And they were like, this one will work. You know, you wouldn't be saying that if you knew exactly which light bulb you needed to buy. Mm-hmm. And my brother was like, those are crackheads looking to use their light bulbs for crack. And I was like, what? What does that even mean?
Well, if you know more about it, you want to clue us in. The number is 603-283-6160. And do you have any plans to deal with this coming ban? I guess it's summertime. Is when this is going into effect. If you want to comment, you can join the show here. It's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.